The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
If you are dealing with any kind of loss in your life, no matter how insignificant, you are experiencing some sort of pain. Did you know that over time, that pain can become joy? It may sound odd, but listen on. This is Healing from Loss with Brenda B. We'll help you find the silver lining that takes you from where you are now to where you need to be to move forward. Now, here is host Brenda Blindenbaugh and co-host Monique McDonald.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning in to Healing from Loss with Brenda B. and my co-host, Monique McDonald. I want to remind my listeners to visit www.wealthyhealers.com to receive the free audio on Transform Your Life by Healing Grief and Loss. You can also find me on Facebook at www.wealthyhealers.com/FB. And my Twitter handle is www.wealthyhealers.com/Twitter. We have a great treat in store for us today. My friend, colleague, and co-host Monique is going to be sharing about the chaos cycle, how to recognize what cycle we are in, and how to move through it. I'm so excited about what you're going to be sharing with us today, Monique.
Thanks, so am I. I think it's a really great fit with the whole series that you've been doing on grief and loss.
Yes, yes. Okay, so take it away, Monique.
Well, you know, whether you end up feeling like your life is in chaos because of loss of a job or loss of a loved one or a loss of income or loss of an opportunity, or whether you end up in chaos because you've become too busy, which is often what happens to us, or, you know, overly committed, being in chaos can end up feeling really debilitating, Brenda. And we cycle in and out of this process many times in our lives, and sometimes it can even be just in one day where you feel like you just can't move forward in something you want to do unless you clean your kitchen because it's just getting messier and messier, and then all of a sudden you feel like, that's it, you know, I just can't do anything else until I deal with this. And so the cycle that I'm going to be describing today with the four different quadrants in it is a cycle that we're going to recognize, you know, our listeners are going to recognize themselves in that cycle, and sometimes it can be just our life, like a big, huge thing that happens in our life, you know, like a tragic loss or a crisis or a huge shift and change in our consciousness that can launch us into also into this phase. And then those movement through those phases can be very, very defining in our lives. And I know, Brenda, you will certainly be able to relate to this as we go through it as well. And I really encourage you to you know, bring your own experience into this. So there is a way out of chaos, and there is a way when the principles that I'm going to be sharing with you today are followed, and that you can even actually avoid. That's what's so exciting about this, is that once you really understand these beautiful universal principles and how our soul just naturally guides us through them if we pay attention, that you can even end up being in a place where you can avoid ever getting back into that huge, big, prolonged period of chaos that can be so debilitating. And so the chaos phase is one of the four phases that we cycle through, and each phase is very powerful. It has a very specific purpose. It's just that the chaos phase for some people is the most recognizable because it's the messiest and sometimes the most painful phase when you're actually in it. So Brenda, when you think back, let's say over the last 10 years of your life, can you think of a time when something in particular really dropped you into chaos?
Many times. But something that happened fairly recently, of course, was, and I've shared this before, was when I was my husband and I were separating after, what, nearly 24 years of marriage. I mean, that really took me into this chaos cycle. I went through such a hard time. I thought I'd never get over it. I was in the depth of depression, overwhelm, panic, everything, and felt really wanting to give up, didn't want to be here.
Well, you're describing it perfectly, Brenda. The feelings that you had are exactly the feelings that most people share when they're in that chaos phase. So here's how we can feel when we're just in it, okay? And I want our listeners to picture this as a big circle, and you can kind of divide the circle into four quadrants. And so the first quadrant we're going to talk about is this chaos. And here's how you feel when you're in it. Exactly what you're saying there, Brenda, of just feeling overwhelmed, your mind is racing, you can't sleep, feeling depressed, feeling despondent. It can be, for some people, if the chaos happens as a result of becoming too busy in their life, it can be feeling overly busy, agitated, anxious, irritable, feeling like there's all these things to deal with, no time to do it. It can be feeling like there's endless lists to complete, too many uncompleted things, and nothing seems to be getting done. For some people, when they're in the overwhelm phase, they realize that they want change. They just can't do it anymore. They don't want to do this job. They hate it. They don't know what to do. They want more out of life, wanting a change. Everything feels like it's sucking the life out of them, a feeling like, I just can't keep doing this. It can be, for some people, a feeling like there's got to be more to life than this. Oh my God, what am I going to do? Feeling like you can't breathe, you want to run. For some people, they'll describe it as a feeling like they just want to crawl into the walls and disappear for a while. So there's lots of pain in this phase. There's lots of fear in this phase, lots of turmoil when you're really dropped into that phase. So that sounds familiar, Brenda?
Very much so. And, you know, literally you're in a tunnel and you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Can you imagine what that must be? Like, there's no way you can't see yourself out of this. So it's a good thing in a way once you get out of it, because you know that there is light at the end of the tunnel if we just wait and allow or create space, because this is what it's all about.
Yes, absolutely.
Space.
And the magical thing about when we understand this universal cycle that happens all the time, it can actually be that, and this was the experience I have, once I really understood it, when I could feel myself going into chaos, I actually could get excited about it now instead of dropping into it and feeling confused and overwhelmed. I can, even though it's going to happen and I know it's happening, I know the steps to take, but I also know that by moving through it, there's the next wonderful phase coming with it. And everything we create in our lives, everything that changes in our lives and moves us forward and helps us evolve as human beings, has to go through this cycle. So we've gone through how it feels when you're in it, and now I'm going to kind of go through how to work with it when you're in it. So your body will naturally know what to do, and often what people will describe is a feeling of they just need to create space, exactly like you're saying, and that can come from an urge to start packing things up, cleaning out closets, clearing things out. It might be for somebody terminating a relationship that's been very toxic, and that toxic relationship is what has them in chaos. So they know it's time that they just have to end that relationship. Now, they may not, because there might be all kinds of fears as to what's going to happen if. So there's so much trust. There's so much trust involved in this cycle that if we just trust what our intuition is telling us, that it is time to get out of that job, it is time to get out of that relationship, and go with that feeling and trust it, then that allows for the next phase, for the next job or the next relationship or the next thing that we're going to be doing to show up. However, through all of these phases that I describe, even though I can really show people a way through it, I still understand that sometimes fear prevents people from doing it. But my experience has been that the more I've played with this and really practiced these principles of moving and working with it, the more I trust in the process, and then, of course, it gets easier. So it's like everything you've been teaching, Brenda, over the last few weeks is this also is a practice. And the only way you can get to really master the practice is to actually do it. So when you have a feeling of it's time to decommit, get rid of, finish things up, end things, create space so that you can breathe, sort things out. These are all the feelings you're going to have in this phase is, you know, there might be a plan or an idea of what you could do next. There might be an inspiration or a new direction or a new opportunity. But you know what? None of these things can even really show up in our experience until we create space. Because when we're completely overwhelmed, overcommitted, doing too much, feeling like there is no room, then there really is no room for a new person to come in or a new opportunity to come in or a new idea even to drop in. So our soul naturally knows this, that when you get that feeling that you can't move forward until you get your life or your things sorted out, it's because it's true. You can't. And so therefore, the action to take in this phase is to do exactly that, to just start creating space in your life. And for me, it was decommitting. I was so overly committed in way too many things because I was the kind of person who couldn't say no to anything. I was afraid if I said no to an opportunity, I might miss out. Everybody else was going to make money. I wasn't. If I said no to somebody, what are they going to think of me? Maybe they won't like me. And so when I really understood this process, I got much more comfortable in being able to say no, not right now. Doesn't mean never, but not right now. So can you relate to that, Brenda?
Absolutely. And, you know, I love what you say. You said about once you understand these phases, you will recognize the phase you're in. Of course, we haven't gone through them, but once you did, this is what helped me so much when I first heard about this from you, Monique. I was going through these phases just intuitively, but I probably would not have been able to do it again over and over again. Once you know about it, then you can recognize what phase, and then you can, okay, so I'm in this phase now. This is the next one I can go into. I can rest assured this will happen.
Yeah, so and often what will happen in the chaos phase is the gut tells us, oh, I just want to clean out the closets. I want to pack boxes. I want to get rid of stuff. And that creating space not only in your external environment, but also internally by getting rid of toxic relationships or terminating jobs or whatever it is, it's exactly the right activity to do. But we can resist it and not want to do it because we beat ourselves up. Well, I should be more productive. Or if I spend time cleaning closets, then I'm not marketing my business. And so the very thing that we could be doing to help move us through is right in front of us, but often even though it's there, because we don't understand it, we resist. You know, we think that maybe it's taking us off track or something.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
The next phase, and I just want to mention that the lines are not so defined that one day you're in one phase and then the very next day you're in another phase. It doesn't work that way. It kind of blends, you know, you're in chaos and then you're starting to decommit from things and space starts to show up. And as soon as space starts to show up in your internal and external environment, the universe, of course, you know, loves to fill it. So what can happen now in this next phase, which is the creative phase, is that you might start to feel like, okay, you've created space, but now you're confused about what to do next. You don't know where to go. What job should I take? Whether or not to get into another relationship. So now in this next phase, you can feel like you're in a fog, you're feeling unsure, now you're feeling lost, you're confused, now what? And you may not know yet what you want, but you know from what you just went through what you don't want and what you don't want to go back to, and that's okay too. You may have some ideas that are starting to come in. There may be lots of ideas starting to come in, and yet it can feel overwhelming. You don't feel motivated to take action on it because you're not sure. There's lots of possibilities, and people are telling you there's all kinds of possibilities. You can do anything with your life, and yet you're feeling like, ugh, you know, I don't know what I want to do. And you can end up feeling guilty and being hard on yourself for not doing something right now and not immediately getting back into action. So this is often how people feel as they're coming out of chaos. Even though they've created space, they can often still continue to kind of beat themselves up. So, Brenda, do you relate to that phase? Do you remember that phase of where you were starting to come out of chaos and yet now it was like, oh my God, what do I do now?
Exactly. And I knew that because I didn't have clarity, that also kept me stuck. Which, you know, as you said, there were so many possibilities, but which of these possibilities was I supposed to take? Mm-hmm. So for me, it was, yeah, you know, I don't even really know if I did this consciously, Monique, but I just knew I needed to have clarity because mm-hmm. that was the mm-hmm. first thing. Then I could take the next step fairly easily once I got clarity.
That's exactly finding it out. And that's what these next This phase in particular is all about the clarity. So do I still have time before we go for a break to just kind of get into that?
Yes, we've got about 3 minutes.
Okay, perfect. So in terms of moving through this creative phase, so this phase, once you come out of chaos and you've created space, this phase is all about dreaming. Dream, dream, dream. Let your dreams now start to open up. What are some possibilities? This is the time to explore. This is the time to not be so concerned about having absolute clarity on one next thing, but all the possibilities. This is where you let the ideas flood in. You don't judge them. You don't immediately take action on them. Just capture them. You know, take the courses that are interesting to you, maybe for the purpose of discovering what you might want to do next. Experiment. Read some books. Let your imagination go. This phase isn't so much a like physical action. Okay, I've got an idea. Now I've got to jump in, because the action phase comes later. There's still another phase between here and there. So it's not about immediately, as soon as an idea comes in, to jump into it. It's about letting yourself decompress. Just decompress from having come out of that and allow the creative thoughts to start flowing in, because you've created that space. And so now, what could you do? So the ideas might come in now and you're not feeling motivated to take action. And there's a reason for that, because it's not time immediately to take the actions. It's time now to start capturing those ideas. You might want to put them in a journal. I had a magic box. So every time an idea came in, I would write it down and I would put it in, I'd give it a kiss and I'd put it in my magic box. I didn't judge it. I didn't have attachment to it. I just captured the ideas, and I would just allow them to be there. And it could be that for some people, as they come out of chaos, they don't even have any inspired thoughts. They're thinking, nothing's even coming in. I have absolutely no idea. So then I tell those people, then capture the feelings you want. You want to feel like you're doing something on purpose. You might want to feel loved. You want to feel excited to go to work in the morning. You want to be financially compensated really well for what it is that you do next. Those are ideas as well. You know, I want to be using my sacred gifts. I want to do something that has meaning. Creating your list of the things you want and put those in your journal or put them in your magic box. So that's really some of the activities that you can be doing now. And then when we come back from the break, Brenda, I'm going to, you know, talk about really how to really get the most out of this creative phase, so that you're not beating yourself up about, why am I not taking action? You know, it's such a lovely phase to spend time in.
Oh, wonderful. I can't wait for that. So it's time for us to take a short break. And this is Brenda Blindenbaugh and my co-host Monique McDonald, and you are listening to Healing From Loss with Brenda B on Voice America Seventh Wave. Stay tuned.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Have you experienced loss in your life and are still working through the grief? Are you ready to start moving forward and feel better? Brenda Blindenbaugh has created a free audio piece to help you get started on this healing journey. Losing a loved one is devastating and can be profoundly painful. Understand that you don't have to go through your loss alone. Visit wealthyhealers.com to receive the free audio from Brenda entitled Transform Your Life by Healing Grief and Loss. That's www.wealthyhealers.com.
Be the change. The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
You are listening to Healing from Loss with Brenda B. To reach out today, please call 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to support@wealthyhealers.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back. This is Brenda B. and my co-host, Monique McDonald. Monique was just sharing about the second phase, the creative phase. And I just wanted to say, Monique, that for me, when I, coming into this creative phase, when I was trying to get clarity, what I felt I needed to do is, because I didn't know how to do my business, was to get more information by taking courses and learning about how to grow my business. So that's perfect what you said. You know, I wasn't really taking action to create my business, but more information on how to do that. Mm-hmm. So was that right?
Yeah, that's right. And for some people, some people come out of chaos and they don't even have that much clarity about wanting to start a business. Sometimes they come out of chaos and all they know is, I don't know what I want, but I know that I'm not going back to that, which is whether it was a terrible toxic relationship and in lots of turmoil and in maybe a marriage that was no longer working or a job that was sucking the life out of them. So sometimes coming out of that chaos phase, people don't even have an idea. And I was doing this presentation recently for a group of women, and there were quite a few women who could recognize that this is where they were at, but they were saying they felt blank. They didn't even know what they would want to do. So when we started talking about that more, in fact, most people do have a sense of something. They want more meaning. They want to do something with purpose. They want to help people. They want to work with animals. They may not have any idea what it's going to look like, but this phase is all about dreaming. This is where many people have lost. They say now, Brenda, that children who are completely and constantly in front of computers, televisions, whatnot, that they can talk to children now who are 6-7 years old who don't have an understanding of dreaming. When they ask them, you know, do you ever lay on the ground and just stare at the clouds and just imagine? And these kids look at them blankly. They don't know. And even as adults, we've sort of forgotten because we're so driven with achieving, succeeding, needing to keep up, needing to do this big Oprah-sized purpose that, you know, we've forgotten the phase of how important it is in our lives over and over again to just dream and imagine and what if, you know, what if? And this is that phase. Mm-hmm. This phase is the, oh my gosh, what if phase. This phase, if you honor it, should be filled with a feeling of delight, of capturing the possibility. So for me, I remember when I decided that I was going to I wasn't going to stay working as a nurse until I was 65. So at the time I was coming up to being 50 years old, and I knew I had been doing it for 30 years and I loved it, but there was just a part of me that felt like, oh, I know that I don't want to do this for another 15 years, but what do I want to do? So I would have these little threads of thoughts that would come in and I would immediately shut them down. Well, I couldn't do that. And this is often what we do is we brush up against a little feeling of a possibility, but then we immediately think, well, how would I do that? I don't know how I'd do that, or I'm not educated in doing that. So this phase can often sort of create that kind of turmoil. But if we understand that this is the dreaming phase, and our job is just to capture the idea, not to act on it yet. So at this point, not to act on it in terms of feeling like we have to implement it the minute it comes in. So it might be, oh, I'd love to write a book. That might be one of the thoughts is, gee, I wonder what it'd be like, you know, to write a book. So I tell people, you know, get your journal out or get your magic box out and get a piece of paper and write down, I would love to write a book, and cut out a picture of a book and just throw it in the box. So the beginning of this phase is gathering up possibilities and just kind of sitting with them. Then the next phase is to start contemplating. And this is, again, something that we've sort of lost the art of, contemplation and discernment. It's a very spiritual principle, and it's so powerful when we do it. This is where we really tap into that universal energy to co-create possibilities. So I'm imagining, you know, all these different things that I could do or feelings I would like to have. But now we go to our co-creative partner, whatever that is for you, God, the universe, the Tao, whatever it is, that now we're going to co-create the possibilities, and that's done through discernment and contemplation, to sit with it rather than feeling like we immediately have to go into action and act on it, or we start asking everybody else's opinion and everybody starts telling us what they think we should do, to actually just sit with it and contemplate about these ideas. Now, while you're going through this phase, Brenda, you might still have a job you're working full-time, and that's okay, but to give yourself the gift of time to feel into it. Okay, I think I'd like to write a book, but do I want to do that now? Maybe not. You know, I would like to do it, but I don't think I want to do it right now. So, you know what? Put the little piece of paper back in the magic box. Pick up another one. Maybe it's, you know, I really would love to take a course on how to, I love piano, and I love teaching piano, but I really would love to take this other more advanced course. Think about it. How does it feel? Oh, it feels exciting. Does it feel like it's the right time? Yes, like it just feels really right to me. So it's discernment and contemplation. It might be asking the universe to give me more information. Yes, I think I would like to do this, but I have absolutely no idea how. So could you please show me some more information, or send me somebody, or give me a sign or something? So contemplation, meditation, praying on it, discerning, going through the discernment process. This is part of getting clarity. You were exactly right, Brenda, when you were saying about getting clarity. So what was your process when you were in this phase and you were saying, I wanted clarity? What did you do?
Well, it's just a thing that I do all the time. So I'm really dialoguing with my source, asking questions, and then listening. And it's not a difficult thing. Especially if you have a fairly good relationship and you're doing this, you will get either thoughts, or you will get not only through my trusted source, but even through ways that my trusted source will be sending it to me, you know, through an email, through a video, through an audio, through a saying that I see on an advertisement, all different ways, just to be open and to be aware.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then it just unfolds. It really does.
Often people will say to me, you know, I don't get the ideas. I'm not hearing. I'm talking to God. I'm not hearing anything back. And, you know, I always think of it as that still small voice. And it's not necessarily that it's not there. Like sometimes people will say, well, you know, the universe isn't giving me anything. It isn't. It's always coming in. But I think of it as the very still small voice. And therefore, the loud noise going on in our mind is often overshadowing those thoughts. And that's why meditation, going for a walk in nature, going down to a lake or a river or a beach, being near water, having some quiet time. And the quiet time is then when we get away from the noise, the televisions, computers, email, Facebook, traffic, you know, that when we get away from the external noise, that sometimes then the mind can quiet, and then we can start to receive, we can start to, the ideas and thoughts that are bubbling up, we can actually recognize them because we've quieted all of the noise. So it isn't that the universe needs to talk louder to me. Remember, Brenda, when I said to you many years ago that I felt like God needed to hit me over the head with a 2x4 because I wasn't hearing, you know, I wasn't getting any information. And it's not that God or the universe needs to shout at us. It's that we need to. That's why we meditate. That's why we go in nature. That's why we have quiet time. That's why we allow ourselves to rest, so that we can actually quiet the loud noise, so that these yummy little new thoughts and ideas and divine inspirations have the opportunity to bubble up. So this phase is all about receiving, capturing the ideas that are coming in, contemplating, discerning, dreaming, imagining possibilities, and then, and only then, when there's clarity starts to come in, when there starts to be a feeling of, ooh, it would be so exciting if I could do that, or it would be so exciting if, you know, when there's one of them or two of them start to bubble up, then that's the one that is the right time. That's the one that's right to commit to. And the committing for me is, my process is launching it back out to the universe, saying, okay, you've inspired me with this idea that I could become a coach. Well, I have no idea how to do that. I wouldn't even know where to begin to choose a school or whatever. So I need more information, but yes, it feels good. Yes. So we're now, through our own free will, we're saying yes to the idea, which is a commitment. And that's really when we are coming to a close of this second creative phase before we move into the third phase. How are we doing for time, Brenda?
We've got a good 6-7 minutes before we take a break.
Oh, okay, good. Well, then I'll go into... Do you have any questions or comments about that second creative phase?
Yeah, and I just wanted to say I agree so much with what all the things that you said, and I want to put it for me in this one word, is to be still, the stillness. If we look at nature, my goodness, they're still. We can learn so much from nature. They're not frantically doing things to grow and to produce fruit. They're still. In the stillness is where we get all the answers. And this is why, you know, when I talk about going within, this is all part of it.
Yes, absolutely. And what often happens is people will go then, they get the idea, okay, they come to the end of this phase and they've gone through the stillness and something has bubbled up. And it doesn't have to be the big purpose in your life. It just could be the one next step that feels right for you. And
Now
it's clear and it's bubbled up. And then often what people think is they immediately have to launch right into action. And action is the fourth phase. And we're only on the second phase. But often people will go straight into action and then they'll find it's not flowing. Sometimes it does. And it works, but sometimes, you know, when they dive right into action, it just isn't working, and that's because they skipped over the next phase. And the next phase is what I call the phase of let go and let God. That's when people talk about let go, let God, surrender. Okay, now you're clear, you know what you want, and now you know you're excited about it. The surrendering of it is where you allow now your co-creative partner, the universe, God, the Tao, whatever it is for you, to do its part. I mean, there's no need for any kind of spiritual support if we're going to do it all ourselves. So if we really do believe in co-creating our lives, in working in the flow of working with the universe and working with universal principles, then we need to allow those principles and the universe to do its part. And that is this phase. This is where... Okay, you're clear now, you want to launch a business, and you're feeling like, okay, you know what you want to do, you're excited about it, and now you just dive right in and you try and figure it all out. And so for a lot of people, that just doesn't work. And what can happen is that then in this phase, the let go, let God phase, the way people can sometimes feel is frustrated because nothing seems to be happening. You've put it out there, you've been praying, you've been asking, you started the ball rolling, it's not coming together, and then you feel like it's never going to work, it's never really going to happen, you feel guilty because you just want to lay around and watch TV, you don't really want to do anything with it, you feel blah, you feel discouraged, you feel like you're the world's biggest procrastinator, but in fact, there might be some divine timing involved. This is the phase of divine timing. This is where you do what's in front of you that you need to get done, whether it's your job or look after your kids or do whatever you need to do, but you're allowing the universe in the background to do its part, to start aligning the people, to start bringing the right courses into your experience, to allow the timing and let the universe weave its magic for divine providence, you know, coincidences, synchronicities, all of these things to start happening in the background. And during this phase, the universe is extremely busy. in the background and nothing seems to be happening in your experience. So it can feel very, very frustrating because, you know, I'm talking to God and I'm praying and I've been doing all of this and I'm asking and I'm focusing and I'm setting my intention for what I want and there doesn't seem to be anything happening and every step I take, it seems to not be working and it seems overwhelming again because now you don't know what to do first to get it going and people are telling you just to relax and let it show itself and then you're frustrated hearing that because you think, I can't relax, I need to get it going and you're losing faith. So this phase is all about trusting. This is, for many people, the most challenging phase, is to trust that if you have done your part in really capturing what your heart wants and launching it and saying, yes, yes, I want that, and putting it out there, then this phase of trusting is where it can become really challenging. Do you remember that phase, Brenda?
Oh, absolutely. And not only that, even now, it's a matter of, I'm always being told, just wait, just hang in, you've done your part, let me do my part, take your hands off, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then I love this thing. For me, it's so, synchronicities are huge for me. I'm sure it is for everybody, but I really do recognize them. And, you know, I just follow the breadcrumbs, as I say, the breadcrumbs that these synchronicities are leading me, and voila, I get it. You know, it all seems to work out. The thing is to just wait. Trusting is the absolute right word here, like you said, is trusting that everything will unfold, everything is working, that the universe is working behind the scenes. You cannot see what's happening because it's coming from the unseen, and we can't see the unseen, and it's becoming into form, which takes time, takes people, takes events, all to bring it all together, and that's what the universe is doing.
Yeah, just exactly. Like, and the very person, the exact right person who would be the perfect fit for what it is you're wanting to do is perhaps being prepared over in their experience. In other words, maybe they're still in their toxic job and they haven't yet gotten out of it. And in its divine plan, the two of you are meant to come together, but they have to get into the space where they're ready to meet you as well. So this is the phase where often, Brenda, people give up. This
I
is
know.
Where people
yeah.
decide, you know what, it's never going to happen. This is stupid. I just need to get a job. You know, I can't do this. I can't sit around and wait. It's not happening. Everything I try and do is there, I'm meeting resistance. And so when we come back from the break, I'm going to explain about all the things that we can do to move through this phase that will really help the thing that you want come into fruition.
Yeah. So I just want to, here's what I'm thinking about. You know, Minik, when I look at these phases, what comes to me is that it doesn't feel comfortable to move and grow into the next phase.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when an aircraft is going to break above the sound barrier. It doesn't feel comfortable inside the cockpit.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's going to fall apart, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it passes the sound barrier and it feels like peace because you're at a new level.
Yeah.
So when we're about to break through the sound barrier in our life, it feels shaky because the old structure needs to be shaken. But on the other side of that, you're at a whole different new level. So as you said, saying yes to each level and doing the inner work will let you break through these barriers and not only break through, but maintain you at your new level. And I think learning about these phases is so key to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I love it. Thank you so much for sharing this, Monek. I know that this has helped me a lot, and it's continuing to help me as you're reinforcing these principles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just halfway through. There's lots more.
We need to take another break, and we will be right back. Stay tuned.
This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Have you experienced loss in your life and are still working through the grief? Are you ready to start moving forward and feel better? Brenda Blindenbaugh has created a free audio piece to help you get started on this healing journey. Losing a loved one is devastating and can be profoundly painful. Understand that you don't have to go through your loss alone. Visit WealthyHealers.com to receive the free audio from Brenda entitled Transform Your Life by Healing Grief and Loss. That's www.WealthyHealers.com.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Seek greater awareness.
You are listening to Healing from Loss with Brenda B. To reach out today, please call 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to support@wealthyhealers.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back. This is Brenda B. and my co-host, Monique McDonald. And Monique, you were sharing with us about the third phase. We'll be going into the next phase. So please continue.
So yeah, the third phase is this phase of letting go and letting God and all the frustration that can come with that, and this feeling of, it's just never going to happen, and what did I think I was doing, and this is all stupid, and especially people that are really sort of starting out on the spiritual path and really firmly committed to that, this is where it can often start to sort of shake their faith in all of this and feel like, well, maybe it's, you know, these principles and the law of attraction works for everybody else, but it doesn't seem to be working for me because of this feeling of giving up. So the way to move through this phase with a little more ease and grace is to back off on taking too much action too soon before it's time, because this is actually the phase where, in fact, you really do have to let go and surrender and, you know, just carry on doing what's right in front of you, even though it feels like nothing is happening. But trying to push through this phase by getting into too much action, often what will happen is we'll start to kind of lose the vision of the very thing that we wanted, because it can start to feel like too much work or it feels exhausting. And it's just because we haven't allowed all those people or the right things to come into play yet in front of us. So honoring the fact that you're in this phase really is important. And this phase is all about what we can be doing in this phase is obviously continuing on with our lives, with whatever is in front of us that we need to do, but also to take the time to rest. This is often the phase where people may not feel motivated to do anything or to start anything new, and it's because your body is craving rest. So this phase is all about resting, rejuvenating, taking care of ourselves, nourishing our bodies. This is all about getting our body and our mind and our heart and our soul ready for the next phase, which is action. So because people tend to go from chaos into, oh, I've got a new idea, and go straight into action, they end up cycling through those three over and over again, and they burn out. And the reason the burnout happens is because they never allow this phase of really allowing themselves to replenish and restore. Your body is telling you it wants it. Your body wants to just go on vacation. Your mind is wanting to just play some dumb computer game over and over again, whatever it is. It's actually a way, it's letting you know that right now you are not fully in the action phase yet. Stuff is going on in the background you can't see, but our job is to take and honor that time. In business cycles, when you look at business, often people will get panicky. The minute there's a drop in their business, they get all panicked, and then they start to push into action to make things go. And I always tell them, you know what? While things are quiet, this is the time to rest and maybe put a few new systems in place, or, you know, look ahead at what you might going to need, because the action phase will come again, but you want to have things ready for that. So for us personally, it's about taking care of ourselves. This is the time to really, if you don't feel like doing anything other than just meeting whatever needs are in front of you for your family or your job or whatever, that's because there's a reason for it. To rest and relax and rejuvenate and restore and regenerate and vacate. And if you have left a job that you didn't like, when you came out of the chaos phase, you finally quit that job you hate, and now you're thinking of new ideas and what to do next, this might be the time where you need to take what I call a lifeboat job. So in your situation, Brenda, you were clear that you wanted to start your business. And so you're putting everything in place and you're doing all the courses and you're learning, but there may not be any income coming in during that phase. And if you have income, you know, to support you, that's great. But if not, a lot of people don't when they're moving through these cycles. This might be a time to take a lifeboat job. And a lifeboat job means, it doesn't mean doing something you don't like. It means find something that would be fun and delightful. It's not, you know, it's not the bigger picture of what you want to do, but something that will bring some income in that is not going to require a great deal of mental or physical energy. That it would just be something simple, easy to do. It'll bring the money in. It's a no-brainer. It's effortless for you to do, and it still allows you to get some income in.
Oh, it's lovely that you mentioned that, because one of the things that I love doing is gardening.
Uh-huh.
And I actually put an ad and I got several jobs because I love gardening. So I just said I wanted to do, you know, light work in the garden, and I got so many ads. And for a time there, that's what I was doing, you know, a couple of times in every week. I loved doing what I, you know, the gardening, and I got paid for it. So that was wonderful.
See, that is, Brenda, that is brilliant. And that's the perfect example. But what can happen for people when they don't understand this is then they start feeling ashamed and they start feeling guilty. And then they don't want their friends to know that they've taken this job gardening because they had already told their friends that they were going to be, you know, becoming a counselor and, you know, and they're going to have a counseling business. And so now they feel embarrassed. They feel ashamed. They feel they can't tell people, or they become defensive. And this is understandable because we think somehow we have failed because the idea that we launched or the thing we got clarity on isn't happening. But when you understand this, you can see that you can actually enjoy this. And I met a woman last night who gave me the perfect example. She recognized that this was exactly where she was at, and she had quit the job that was sucking the life out of her. But she, you know, she has an idea of where she's going in the future, and she knows what she wants. But in the meantime, she needed money, so she said she started temping. So temping is where she just can say yes or no to jobs that come up every day. She said it's stuff she knows how to do anyway. And she said she's really loving it because she's not attached. She knows it's not her career path, but she's showing up. She's helping others. She's doing something she's good at doing, and she's getting paid for it. So it's a great example of the kinds of things that we can do. Now, some people may not have to take a lifeboat job. Maybe they have a spouse who's earning income, or maybe they had some savings set aside and they're able to use it. But always in this phase, In the let go, let God phase, is where people start to panic. Their savings are starting to go down. Their new idea isn't yet in fruition, and that anxiety and panic starts to happen. So this is all about faith and trust, trusting that it will come together if you did your part by launching it and saying, yes, I want that. Okay, so now what happens is if we honor these phases and things start to come together, the universe is doing its part, it's starting to show you the next step. Now we're in the action phase. And if we have moved through these phases and allowed them to unfold, the action becomes effortless and obvious. We can see right in front of us. We know exactly with clarity what we need to do now, and it's actually quite compelling to do. Now, that doesn't mean we will always do it, because by this point, we may have gotten so fed up, so feeling like it wasn't going to happen, that then when it starts to show itself, some people are afraid to even take the step because they think they're just going to be disappointed or discouraged anyway. It's never going to happen. Or they have fears or blocks or fearing success. All of a sudden, everything's aligning. The right people are showing up. The right opportunities are coming up. Lots of opportunities are showing themselves. And then all of a sudden, they start to panic and they don't take action. But again, in understanding this, it can really help. So now how you feel in this phase is there's a glimmer of hope. things are starting to show up, opportunities are coming your way, you're feeling motivated to do something, you're feeling excited instead of resistant to actually taking the step, you're excited about the idea, maybe it's dating again, maybe it's, you know, taking that new job, you're ready to get out of bed and get out from under the covers, you're actually seeing things, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, you're feeling compelled now to take some action. The right people, the right information shows up, you get busy, it's fun, it's exciting, there's lots going on, you're re-engaged in life, you start to commit to more things, and then guess what happens?
Everything comes together.
Everything comes together, and then before you know it, you're back in chaos.
Aha,
right?
Yes.
Because all of a sudden now you're getting busy, and there's more opportunities, and more people are phoning you, or there's more clients, or, you know, depending on whatever it is that you're doing, then it can end up feeling chaotic again. So the last piece of this is to move through this phase. It's all about acting on what you feel compelled to do, just that one next step, and notice how it's flowing and it's going. And just with a little bit of effort, you can get so much more done. Whereas when you go straight into the action phase on your own and you don't allow the universe to work with you, you can go straight into action, but you have to put in massive effort to get a little bit of result. But when you move through the phases this way, you can take a little bit of action and, oh my gosh, it has terrific, you know, fruition. There's a lot that happens with it. So you'll start to feel motivated again instead of feeling like you want to procrastinate. And what can happen then is you feel like now all of a sudden you're spending way less time with God. You're not going out in nature as much. You're not feeling like you have the time to go for a walk. You don't have time to meditate because you're busy. It's all coming together. And you know what? The universe understands that and is excited and applauding. And you might just have a moment of time to just quickly have a little conversation with God instead of spending hours and hours and hours, which is what we do in those other phases because we're feeling so despondent. And that's exactly how it's meant to go. And then because we're not meditating, we're not going out in nature, we're not taking time for ourselves, then we go back into chaos, and then we realize, okay, I need to stop. What can I decommit? I need to take some time for myself so that you can feel yourself cycling back around again. But you can see, Brenda, how when you understand this and you move with it, when you start coming into that feeling of chaos, you can offset it right away because you recognize it coming and you know right away, uh-oh, it's time for me to decommit. It's time for me to go for a walk and start meditating at least once a week. It's time for me to take 5 minutes in the morning to journal what I'm wanting in my next phase. So you start to know in advance so that you don't ever have to go into this massive big phase of chaos. You can almost offset it. It'll still come, but you know the actions to take.
That's just wonderful. This is why I think we really do need to know about these things so that we can recognize what phases we're in and then know what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, when you were talking about taking the action and not having to put so much effort into it, it reminded me about this law, which is called the law of least effort.
Mm-hmm.
What I love learning about the laws because they're all there for mm-hmm. us to tap into. And
yeah.
This is exactly what it is meant to be, not to have so much struggle, pushing, rather, you know, we need to just, you know, do what we need to do and allow the rest to come forth. Without all that massive effort that we have to put in.
Yes, and when I hear people say, you know, I think I figured out what I want. You know, I think I know what I want to do next, but I have no idea how. And then that's often where they start to feel panicked again. And that is a great example of that's an indication that, okay, you know what you want. Your job is to put it out there. This is what I want. I'm wanting this. So please bring into alignment whatever it is that's needed for this to happen for me. And, you know, I'm ready, I'm excited, and I'm going to trust the universe in doing it. And then the figuring out, because whenever you feel like you have to figure something out, you have jumped over the phase of discernment, of contemplation, of co-creativeness. You've jumped over, you've forgotten that you have this whole other partner that's there in the non-physical to support you to bring those things in line. So every time we feel like, ugh, you know, how am I going to do it? The how-to, I always say to people, your job is to ask. The how-to is none of your business. That's the universe's job to bring that. And then when it comes and it doesn't necessarily look exactly like what you thought, to trust, because you've done this whole process, to trust with the step that's being shown you and to take that next step. And that has always been my experience, is often it comes in looking different than what I thought I launched out there, but the result is still what I want. The feeling of feeling on purpose, of loving my life, of doing something I love, even though it didn't come in exactly the way I thought it would. But the universe has a greater perspective, and it knew the things that needed to come together to bring me to that place of how I want to feel doing it. But the details of it might look a little bit different, and I trust that now.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And that's the whole thing about what you said. You know, we want to figure out, and that's the thing, that's the function of the conscious mind, and it knows so little.
Right.
And we're coming from this little part that thinks it knows it all, instead of allowing the universe, which has a bigger perspective of how it should happen, and bringing that about, instead of looking at it only through this one little narrow way. We're now allowing it to come through all different ways. That is the beauty of this co-creation that we're into, isn't
it? Absolutely. And Brenda, I have more information on the chaos cycle at my website, which is feelonpurpose.com, feelonpurpose.com. And if the listeners go there, they'll see up in the right-hand corner the place there that they can click and get more information on the chaos cycle.
Thank you so much, Monique, for giving us that information. Thank you for spending time with us today. Just again, a quick reminder to visit www.wealthyhealers.com to receive the free audio on Transform Your Life by Healing Grief and Loss. And you can also find me on Facebook at www.wealthyhealers.com/FB. And my Twitter handle is www.wealthyhealers.com/Twitter. Until next week, this is Brenda Blindenbaugh and Monique McDonald sending you abundant blessings.
Thank you for tuning in this week. Please join your host Brenda Blindenbaugh and co-host Monique McDonald for another edition of Healing from Loss with Brenda B. next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. We'll talk next week.